I want to start in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 26. We've talked about this. I'm just going to share it one more time. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. Well, what a statement. I did this in a funeral for a neighbor on Vail once, and I used this scripture, and boy, the mother came up to me afterwards, and she was mad. I've always taught my kids, you better respect and love your parents, you know, and I said, well, I didn't say it. He did. But in the Greek, almost everybody agrees, it would probably read more properly like this. If anyone comes to me and does not love less his father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, then he cannot be my disciple. You know, we've talked a little bit, you can be born again and be a child of God and yet not step into the role of being a disciple. What's a disciple? You know, a disciple is one who's being taught, one who's teachable. It's a common phrase in sports all the time, they're not coachable. And so what's the benefit of being a disciple? Well, number one of them we talked about, and I do want to make this, you know, and emphasize this. You can be disciple of a lot of different things. You can be disciple and, you know, with a underneath a coach, a teacher, or your mom, your dad, your pastor, or whatever else. But what Jesus is saying, if you come to me and you want to be my disciple, now that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about being a disciple of a certain doctrine or creed or denomination or group. We're talking about Jesus saying, if you want to come be my disciple, if you want to be my student, if you want me to train you, then this is what has to happen. I have to be Lord. And he's not insecure and jealous of our other relationships. In fact, you know, what's beautiful about this, I won't labor on this too long, but when you put Jesus first and foremost by leaps and bounds, all these other relationships, your wife, your family, everything else comes up, 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 up. If you put these first, everything is struggling. It flows, you know, as we were singing, teach me your ways. Show me your ways. And like I said, God is not an insecure God that's all shook up if you don't say, oh, you're my boss, you're my Lord. He just is God. He's the source. And so when you connect with him directly, and, you know, and here's the other thing. One of the other points is, you know, we had this, what was it, Bush that came up with the No Child Left Behind deal? And I'm not here to argue about all that. It's just the fact that we have a tendency in our human nature to make sure everybody stays together in the same little group. And we get really insecure if somebody's doing something different. And definitely in churches, it's this way. You know, sometimes it's like, hey, stick with us, join us. Variety and individual expression terrifies us. We never know when they're going to go too far. And being a kid that pushed too far, I can see why they're terrified and why we do. But at the same time, God is, this thing is so big, this thing is so wonderful. Most nights I get out and look at the stars just to remind myself how big this thing is. To see a light and say it took 2,000 light years to get here. I don't know. It's just one of the things I think is good for us is say, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. There's a scripture Paul says, there's a variety of ministries and a variety of effects. And I remember the Lord in Bible college spoke to me and just said, John, you're going to see a lot of variety. Don't be so quick to judge, but don't join everything. You don't have to hook up with everything that's going on that's new. You know, if there's anything that's in my heart is that we hear, each one of us hears from God. There's a lot of great movements going on. There are a lot of great things. But at the same time, if this is going to work, we each have to hear from the Lord himself. And When we each do, it all blends together. That's the unity. But if you and I try to figure out how to be in unity and we avoid, the individual counsel of the Lord, then we're all kind of like in soccer. Everybody's in a little group and they just follow the ball around and nothing ever really happens. What's the benefit of being a disciple? Well, you get taught, you get trained. That means you start developing. That means you start maturing. That means you start being strengthened and you start being a stable light in the world. So then I want to go now to Romans 13. And again, you can the whole chapter has got a theme, and for sake of time, I'm just going to drop down into, I think, verse 6. It says, For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Paul is talking before this about just obeying the rulers of the world and all that, that God's ordained them, and they are ordained by God to punish those who are getting out of line. You know, Paul, I think if I remember right, wrote this probably in about 57 A.D. out of his, I forget some of this stuff, 9 letters. I think this is number 6 in order chronologically. His last letter is to, I believe, is 2 Timothy, and that was written about 10 years later. So, and he died soon after that. But you think about it, here's Paul saying, honor the authorities. They're there doing God's work. And I thought, Paul, the authorities at that time beat you with rods, whipped you, sanctioned being stoned. Put you on a ship and shipwrecked you, and yet you're still saying, "I'll give honor to whom honor's due." I thought, God, that's kind of amazing when you think about it. There's somebody that maybe could have been a little bit upset with the Roman Empire. It could have been Paul. And all things have to, be read and balanced in context, but it's interesting just to think about that. But I want to come down to verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone. And all my life, that was brought from an early age, either my perception or somebody taught me. But don't have debt. Don't owe people. And it does really refer to, it can be very much, interpreted for finances. I just want to kind of take it and use it to hopefully, I guess if I have a goal today is to do what I do quite often, which maybe is not appreciated, but I want you to think. I remember I had a sound guy once running my sound, and a lot of times the sound guys back then, you just put the headphones on, so then they really hear the sermon coming straight in there, we got done with one service once, and the guy, he walked up and he says, "You make my brain hurt." And I thought, is the headphones not so good? You got them cranked? No, he says, "You just make me think." And I didn't come to church to think. I go, "Well, I'm sorry. But this, you're not my disciple." And I feel like the Lord is called me to help stir people up to just lift their head up, take a deep breath, and say, "God, teach me again. Show me your ways individually." So if I make your brain hurt, I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time. But for all of us in there, we got several preachers in here. We're thinking all the time and down these lines, everybody does, but it's like, as much as I've spent basically 60 years following the Lord pretty intensely, it's like, man, I still feel just so young. in the area of learning from him. He's so vast. He's so wonderful. He's so patient. You know, as you get older, you realize sometimes what was said today, and Kay and I were talking about the seasons of life. All of a sudden, I've experienced, two, three, four, five, six, seven seasons of your life, and you finally realize there's new seasons for young people. Got babies coming in here, and it's like, yeah, man, they're just starting their season of their family. How awesome is that? And I think, take a deep breath and enjoy it, because in about a split second, you're going to be having your kids have kids, and you're going to go, how did that ever happen? And why am I up here in this age? And I figure I got at least probably 30 years to go, so I'm coming into that next season. And then you kind of relax and think of all the problems that you have and how many times you were told, this is the end, this is all, everything's falling apart, oh my God, and the whole world, I remember just, through the years, all the voices of calamity. I was over in Ukraine, and I was scared out of my mind because we got followed by the KGB, and they were investigating us, and it was the most communistic nation I'd been in up to that time, and it just walls had come down, and you realize just how scary it is to be under communist rule. They're freaky. They'll do weird things. They don't think logical, I didn't know if we were going to get out of the country in time, and we didn't have much money, and I had five people we'd have to buy new tickets for, and I was nervous. But we went to this really fancy hotel that did just open. An American had opened it up, and my friend Les Dodds was really excited about me staying in this other hotel because it was only like $10 a night. But the last time he is there, he was sick, and his wife told me later that he hadn't slept for days, and so he was finally sleeping, and she woke up in the middle of the night and heard this noise, this gnawing, and it was a rat trying to dig through their suitcase to find the food that was in it. Unless it, I got to take you to that hotel. So he was so disappointed, because we had humanitarian vans that were full of stuff, and we couldn't unload them the first night because they'd been... They thought we found out later they were really putting a squeeze to us because somebody brought machine guns in a humanitarian van. And so they're just trying to spook the daylights out of us, and they did it. And they were following us, and then we're going to have them investigate, and we go through our stuff. And problem was, we had car tires in the middle of that van, and that was not legal. So anyway... Said all that, say I was at this fancy hotel, and I'm sitting there talking to this guy. And I said, what are you doing? He says, well, I've been hired by about seven countries to do a world survey on the water supply and drinking water and all that. And I said, oh, yeah. And so America, Russia, China, Germany, a whole bunch of them had hired him. And a team of experts, and they're flying all over the world to make an evaluation, a scientific evaluation of our water supply. I said, how are we doing? He said, we're in trouble. Within about 2 years, we won't have enough drinking water for people. That was back in 1994. I'm just saying, experts have been telling us forever, it's collapsing, it's falling down, it's all falling apart, it's all gonna. And as you get older, you finally realize, tragedy really does come to everybody and every family. And sometimes very severe. But overall, this thing keeps chugging. And from God's point, you get a little bit more understanding from his viewpoint. It's like, I know you're in trouble. I'll walk with you. I'll be with you. If something takes you out, I'll receive you. And then all of a sudden, you just think, I'm not sure I want to jump and be scared out of my mind or run panic every time somebody's got a new crisis to talk about. Life continues on. So, owe nothing to anyone. The word owe, by definition, can be, owe, debt, things you ought to do, a good will do, accruing, adding up. And so he's saying, owe Don't be in debt. Don't have something you got to do. To owe nothing to anyone. Nothing to anyone is a group of Greek words and a phrase. And it means not even one. Well, nothing. Not even one. I don't know. It's kind of fun just to look at that and go, oh, we're talking about everything. Yeah, when it says all, it usually means all. Not even one man, woman, thing. So I want to talk a little bit more about the thing. And then goes on, another definition, nothing plus without delay. So not even one thing, don't delay. Don't owe a thing. Owe not one thing. You know, Bible, we talk a lot about forgiveness. Why? Because when you don't forgive, you keep paying. You keep paying a debt long after the deed is done. And you just keep accruing more and more and more debt when you walk in unforgiveness. And I know you all know it, I know it, but boy, we need to be reminded all the time. Every time we walk and we don't forgive, we set ourselves almost like an investment, only on the debt side, that we will keep paying on this and keep paying on this and keep paying on this. And so emotional debt, you might say, it's not just money, but a lot of times, you know, you get hurt in life, it hurts. You're in pain. You have to pay a price of being in pain. I've told this story, but we had a dog that we really liked on the farm because he was smarter than us. And that dog could go get all the cattle in. You just stand by the gate and open it and say, go get them. And my dad was, he ended up being a good dog trainer, but at that time he treated the dog like he did us kids. And so he just talked to him in paragraphs. And it's like, Dad, the dog doesn't understand English. You know, what's wrong with you? I told you, you know, and he finally learned to get a whistle, and that really helped. But this dog, Dad could just stand at the gate and he'd go and get 500 calves and bring them all back in. Just now, the only problem was when something was different, he didn't know because he got kicked in the head and got deaf. But but anyway, Dad ran over our dog by accident. Was it Dad or you? So because most of the time, I said I wasn't ever going to talk about this because I might want to run for president someday. But we didn't take dogs to vets. I'm sorry, if the dog got bad, we buried it. But this dog was valuable, so Dad took it to the vet and got the adjustments on his back or leg. I think it was a leg or something got broke. And after, he said he'll be fine, and after a few weeks, he was still limping around all the time. And we called the vet and said, he's still limping. And, is there something, you think there's something wrong? He said, no. Well, he said, do this. Wait till he gets around a calf or something he wants to, or a rabbit goes by, and see if he limps then. And so we started observing that. We noticed when mine got on the job, whatever he's going to do, he didn't limp. And the vet said, here's the deal. They learned to protect it, and so they limp to protect it, but he said they get in a habit of that, and now it's healed up, but they're still in that habit. Boy, that's the story of life, isn't it? And so we go through tragedy, we go through things, we go through hurts, we go through pains, and bam, we have to pay a price for it right then, but we can actually be healed, and we can go on. It's in the past, But if we're not careful, we just keep carrying it with us. And we keep paying the debt over and over. And we recycle it in our mind. You know, take like rejection. Just somebody rejects you, criticizes you for something. How many times you just go, you know, at first you go, oh, that hurts, but they don't know really what's going on. You know, so it could be all kinds. You could have actually done something wrong. Might be you were totally misunderstood, whatever else. But I don't know. To this day, I had somebody, say something to me, kind of, well, that wasn't very right. And I sat there and it just keeps popping back into my memory. Well, it wasn't that bad a deal. Well, everybody does, and I keep paying the price. And part of it is you only got so many capacity of life to give and to live with. And if you're going to burn it out on energy given away to worry and repeating a video in your mind all the time, it takes away from what you could be doing. Amen? Because you're sitting there running it through. And if it starts in the middle of the night, it's horrible because I'm not in control. My self-control is low at night. And then all of a sudden it just gets bigger and it just keeps accruing more and more debt. And I'm sitting there paying for something that's already been paid for. It's in the past. It's gone. And yet this is a story of so many people's life. Oh, not one thing. What's that mean? You can choose to say, I do not owe that memory the time of day, let alone the hurt and the pain or the double thinking or whatever else. And if you made a mistake, then forgive yourself and stop referring back to it. And there are people, I remember my dear friend Dan, he was in Vietnam, and he would celebrate a certain day. He'd call me and he says, today's the day. I said, what day is it? June 18th. I said, well, what day? Is it your birthday? No. He says, this is the day I first killed a Vietnamese. And he'd, I don't know if you call it celebrate, but every year he reflect on that. And you can. There's so many things in life that you can keep paying on that are paid off already. It's your choice, but they drain you. If you find yourself just being, look for energy drains, look for joy spoilers, look for roadblocks, look for fears that get magnified because you're still paying a debt on something that has already been passed and done and needs to be left in the past, good or bad. Some even just celebrating their victories are just, it's an energy drain. They're not able to go on in life because they're still repeating. They go to their closet where they got all their awards. Man, that was a great day. That was a great ball. And it's fun to do that once in a while. But boy, if you're spending too much time reviewing your life of all the great things and bad things, you're paying debt on a past thing, drawing out energy that is fruitless, not productive, and roadblocking yourself from going on to being a disciple that continues to learn and learn and learn. Some people are in debt to their upbringing. You ever heard somebody say, well, I was just brought up different than that. So you're going to keep on going with it? I mean, you don't owe your parents. Love God, love Jesus way more than your parents. Honor your mother and father and it'll be well with you. But don't bring them up here to where, well, my dad, taught me and I'm just, It's like, yeah, but you have no obligation to continue on. I mean, there are dads that just grew up. I hear this story all the time. My dad was just tough. He taught me how to work ethic, but he beat the tar out of you. And he never complimented you. And he never celebrated you. You don't owe him. I don't owe him. And I don't owe my background. I thank God for my church background and all that and a lot of things. But I had to leave some of that stuff behind and say, I'm not following through just because that was, it's like you don't owe your past, You owe him, if anything. And the new stuff he wants to teach you, train you, you will block your training, you will block his coaching if you continue to pay debt on your past history. I don't know. I'm not going to try to give too many examples because I believe the Holy Spirit will help you, but my encouragement is, you know, we live in a time when things are just popping all the time. We have access to everything all the time, and even a lot of good stuff. You know, I travel with missionaries, and some of them, from the moment we get on the plane, they got their headsets in, and they got their Christian music playing, you know, and they just, you know. And by the way, I took the thing came up on the internet. I don't usually do these things, but I was just curious, Zach. It said an ADHD test. And I thought, that's probably a scam, but I thought, what the heck? And I just tried to answer, you know, more questions than I wanted to. They always say 60 seconds. It wasn't 60 seconds. But anyway, it was a couple minutes, and I tried to honestly. And when I got all done, it said, it's like off the charts high. Like, I mean, I was way to the right. There was just a little bitty space for me and out of bounds on being ADHD. I could explain a few things. Settle the account. Settle the accounts. One man got thrown out of his job, Jesus described, and he said, he went to everybody that owed his boss and said, I'm going to settle with you. And Jesus said, you know, he's wiser than most people because he just made a decision, make a decision to owe nothing. And just to say it's settled, that account's closed. Close the books. I don't want to open them again. You'll want to be open, but just you can be free. You can settle accounts on your rejections, your past promises. There are people who have had dreams when they're teenagers of what they want to do in life, and they've never closed the book. Because you made dreams, and they were good for you and all that, but there came a point where that's not going to happen. Don't be in debt to a past goal, a past dream, a past promise. Paul is saying, don't owe anybody, because here's the deal. He said, except to love one another. And here's kind of the balance of the thing. If you keep paying these debts, you're not going to be able to really love one another. You're going to be spending all your resources on the past debts, past pains, past victories, past whatever. There was a movie, and I even talked to Scott because he knows all the movies. I thought, but, and I maybe it's just in my head. I don't know. But I thought I watched a movie once, an old Western, where an old cowboy meets another cowboy, and he was dying, and I don't know why he's dying, but it wasn't like they were friends or anything. But on his deathbed, this other cowboy says, would you promise me you'll take my body to Texas and bury me there? And the guy says, okay. He dies. The rest of the movie is about all the problems he had. He nearly died. How many times shooting out with people and everything, trying to get this body to Texas? I mean, that's 2 hours of just struggles and bad. You know, and he finally gets him buried. And the end of the show, he's burying him. He goes, I don't think I'll ever promise that again. And I just thought, dear God. And I hope it don't bother you too much. But man, I've been with so many people on their deathbed, and I think, don't promise something. Promise me you won't, you know, sell the ranch. I ain't promising you, Dad. You're not obligated to pick up a debt. Don't promise. You got the free choice. And it's just like, give honor to whom honor is due. But don't owe something that you can't pay or that you don't want to pay the rest of your life. And there are promises and there are things. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and speak to each one of us and say, settle the account and move on. settled. It might be a divorce. It might be a death. It might be just one kid saying you're fat in first grade, and you've held on to it the rest of your life. Settle the debt and move on. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Because this whole thing of growing and developing and maturing into what he wants us to be will not take place. And you can't love one another as long as you're just consumed with your debt. Romans 13:10 says this, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. And we usually look at that as a negative thing of sinning or something, but I mean, it is sin just to sit there and keep feeling the insecurity that because something that happened to you in the past, a loss that happened to you, it's over, God can heal, and you can go on. Romans 13:12 says this, the night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know how we're going to defeat the darkness that's in this world, and it is dark? Put on the light. Yelling, screaming. You know, one of the deeds of the flesh is carousing. I looked that up. It's just rioting. And sometimes you're just rioting inside yourself, all bent out of shape about something going on. Listen, this is an evil world. And we will not make the world righteous by passing laws and fighting them. If there is any way we're going to defeat the darkness, it's put on the light and let the love of God be without hypocrisy. Love and respect people. Give honor where honor is due, but do not owe something that you don't owe that he paid for so that you can be his disciple. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, darkness, nothing. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God that's inside each of us. And we've all sang today, and we've all said over and over, we want to be your disciple. We want you to train us. And today, I thank you. I know that I am spending time alone with you. I know these people will, too, of just getting alone and saying, show me. Show me places where I'm paying a debt that I don't need to continue to dump my energies into, my thought life into, my emotions into. You came to set me free. You came to set each of us free so that we might put on light, put on Jesus, and shine and give people hope. We call you Lord, nobody else. We call you Father, nobody else. We call you teacher, nobody else. Thank you for the help, and thank you because we're really desiring to finish out our days continuing to grow and be trained in your ways. Say what you say. Speak what you speak. Do what you do. That's our cry. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.